Welcome, welcome, welcome to the first Sunday in Advent. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. As you know, it's God's house. He's provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. As I mentioned at the beginning of my welcoming remarks, today is the first day of Advent. You saw John Wayne in Virginia light the prophecy candle, the first candle in Advent. And the dictionary definition for Advent, for the word Advent, is coming or arrival. Now, if you see it in capital letters, the dictionary tells you that it's the period beginning four Sundays before Christmas and observed by many Christians with a time of prayer and fasting. It's also, when it can be used, when you see it with a capital letter, to indicate the second coming of Jesus. But the word itself, as John Wayne said, comes from Latin, and it means coming or arrival. And the message of the Advent for Christians today is the coming or the arrival of Jesus the Savior and the long-promised Messiah. And our text today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible, or if you did not bring yours today, we have some in the pew racks in front of you, as I read Luke, chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." May God add His blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. Well, why is Advent so important that we recognize it in our churches? We set aside time for the four Sundays before Christmas to light the Advent candles. Quite often it's in our Sunday school lessons this time of the year. Well, that's because it was good news. It was good news when it was first announced to those shepherds by the angel. Those shepherds out on the hillside outside the town of Bethlehem, and it is good news for us today. No matter what our problem, no matter what pains we are suffering, no matter what circumstances we are enduring, the good news is that we can look beyond them to Jesus and find comfort and mercy and understanding and the strength to overcome any obstacle that is before us. As Christians, we do not hide our head in the sand like an ostrich. We face the reality that we live in a troubled world. We do not deny the reality of 9/11. We do not deny the reality of a high crime rate in our country or the proliferation of pornography on CDs and on the internet. We realize that bad news makes headlines in today's society. The problems of a nation or of a particular people or of a person are highlighted in the news media. Very seldom do we see good news in print. Jesus ministered in a pro-Roman culture. And this culture was not very friendly towards him or towards his followers. The culture in which Jesus lived was one of high taxes, one of roaming bands of renegades led by men like Barabbas, and one of corruption in high government officials' offices. But Jesus did not attack his culture. Jesus attacked false religious practices. He focused on telling the gospel. He focused on the good news. The news that he was the Savior. The news that he had come so that we could have eternal life. The world of Jesus was filled with spiritual, intellectual, and political darkness, and he shed light upon it. Jesus was the fulfillment of what the prophet Isaiah foretold 700 years before. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 and 6, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. 700 years before the birth of Jesus, Isaiah the prophet prophesied his birth. The message of the Advent is about the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Savior, the coming of Jesus. And such news is of great joy to all people. There were three types of leaders who were anointed with oil back in the time of Jesus. And even before that, even back in the Old Testament times, these were priests, prophets, and kings. Elijah was instructed by the Lord to anoint Elisha as prophet in Elijah's place. The Lord instructed Moses to anoint Aaron with oil, setting him apart as a priest of the Lord. Elisha the prophet commissioned his associates to locate Jehu, son of Jehoshaphat, and pour oil on his head and say, I anoint you king over Israel. And in fulfillment of the scriptural prophecies, Jesus came to us as prophet, priest, and king. He came to earth as a prophet anointed by the Holy Spirit. And as prophet, Jesus preached the good news. Jesus preached the gospel. Jesus preached God, his Father, to all the people. Jesus proclaimed the good news. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. And as a prophet to us, Jesus requests a decision from us. He wants us to give meaning to our life. He wants us to slow down this hectic pace in which we're living, and he wants us to realize that we're getting nowhere fast. Jesus, the Son of God, speaks and calls for us to stop and turn around and follow him. We know that Jesus called fishermen, a tax collector, and common, ordinary men to follow them. He invited them to come and see his life in action. Jesus didn't separate his life from his message that he was preaching. He didn't act one way Monday through Saturday and then on the Sabbath act another. He didn't go out among the people and act one way on Monday and go to the temple and act another way on Tuesday. Jesus did not separate his life from his message. The disciples learned from Jesus how to live a victorious Christian life through on-the-job training. We saw in the Bible study we had on Wednesday on the book of John how Jesus call these men to follow him. And because of his charisma, and because of the Holy Spirit touching these people, these men, they followed him not knowing what lie ahead, not knowing what that job was to be. Remember one day Jesus entered the temple in Jerusalem, and there he chased out men who were selling cattle and sheep and doves for temple offerings. And he used a whip to do this, and he turned over tables which were piled high with their money. And the Jews watching this said to Jesus, by what authority? That they wanted him to give them a miracle to prove by what authority he acted in doing this. And of course, Jesus' reply was, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. Now the disciples didn't realize what he meant at that time. The people didn't realize what he meant. But as a prophet, Jesus was telling them that the temple was himself and that he would rise 3 days after being destroyed, after being killed. And it was only then that the disciples realized that he was talking about himself. Jesus prophesied that on the third day he would rise from the rock tomb. And we all know, not only through God's word, but through historical records, that in fact he did come out of that tomb. He did rise. What's the easiest way to distinguish a false prophet from a true prophet? It's easy. A true prophet, what he says happens. What he says comes true. And what Jesus said came true. And it's up to us to remember that he also said, he shall return. And we need to be prepared for that second coming. Jesus came as prophet, but he also came as priest. In the Old Testament, a priest is the one who offered sacrifices at the altar and served as a mediator between God and men. Now, and we know, as I mentioned, that God told Moses to anoint Aaron as his priest, and those of his lineage would forever serve as priests to God. But Jesus is not a priest from the order of Aaron. He is priest by divine appointment. Because all the Old Testament priests were acting in the place of Jesus until he came to earth. So Jesus comes as priest and he offers himself as a sacrifice for our sins. He sacrificed himself, not cattle, not a dove, not any other animal. He sacrificed himself on the cross and shed his blood for the atonement of our sins. So we no longer have to have animal sacrifices. We now can go directly to Jesus, who gave his life for us. Jesus understands the deepest needs of every human heart. And he wants us to come to him for forgiveness and help. And that's what I think as a Christian is so important. I don't have to go to another person. I don't have to go to a man or a woman and confess my sins to him or her, and then they go to God on my behalf because of the new covenant. Jesus became our priest, and we go directly to him as the Son of God. He is not so high and holy, however, that he's unapproachable. He wants us to come to him in prayer, and he will hear our prayers with compassion and act with mercy to answer them. In Hebrews we read, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in that time of need. You know, before Jesus ascended to heaven, he led the disciples outside the town of Bethany. And there he raised his arms and blessed them, and then he ascended into heaven. And Jesus is ready to give us his blessing today if we have a receptive heart and are willing to let him come in. He cannot bless those with indifferent or hard hearts, but he will bless all of us if we'll open our hearts to him. So if we want to be blessed, we must have open hearts. We must study the Bible. We must pray to him on a regular basis. And he, as the priest for all of us, will open up to us and bless us. So the advent of Jesus is about Jesus coming as prophet and priest and king. And as king, Jesus ascended into heaven and reigns in infinite power. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And he makes it clear that his kingdom is not of this earth. He was arrested, as we know, and taken before Pontius Pilate, who asked him, "Are you king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." When Jesus comes in the second advent, in the second coming, he will set up his kingdom here on earth. And those of us who are followers of Christ will become part of this kingdom of God here on earth. Jesus as king holds the universe together. Paul wrote the church at Colossae, "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." And this is a view that a lot of people on this planet today have trouble accepting. They think of Jesus as a sweet little boy in a manger. Or they think of the life of Jesus as a nice story to tell at Christmas time. And if you believe the ACLU, the story of Jesus is make-believe. This is what that organization contends. But whether or not a person believes is a consequence he or she must deal with. Because history confirms, not just biblical history, not just biblical scholars, but secular scholars confirm that during the first advent, during the time when Jesus came to this earth, that he was a prophet, he was a priest, and he was king of God's people. Secular society, as we've talked about so many times, wants to remove God from our government and from our public schools. There was one instance where a fifth grade teacher was told by his school system not to review the Declaration of Independence with his class because it mentioned God. We can deny the reality of Christ, but we cannot escape his sovereignty or his reign over the universe. We can deny his sovereignty. It can be blasphemed and insulted, as his enemies so often want to do. But he continues to rule as King of kings and Lord of lords. And his word tells us, his word, which has never been proved to be incorrect, lo, these many thousands of years, his word tells us that a day will come when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus came as prophet, priest, and king. And the question is, will you believe him? Will you trust in him? He's waiting to welcome you into his kingdom. All you have to do is believe. And so this morning we extend an invitation to anyone who has not accepted him as their king, as their priest, as a prophet who predicted his resurrection. We invite you to come and confess to him and accept him as your Savior. As we sing a hymn of invitation, number 295, Near to the Heart.